This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne, sitting in for Bob Edwards. The FBI says the agency is putting a top priority on its efforts to upgrade its computer system. That upgrade should be finished in 2 years. The glacial pace of change has led some members of Congress to wonder whether FBI agents will ever have the technology needed to prevent terror or ordinary crime. NPR's Larry Abramson reports on why the upgrade is taking so long and what the FBI is missing in the meantime.
The FBI's ancient technology is an old joke in Washington, a joke some members of Congress don't find very funny after 9/11. When New York Senator Charles Schumer held a hearing last month on the upgrade plans, he sounded grateful for even the very modest progress reported by the FBI's Sherry Higgins.
I'm also happy to report that we've received Ms. Higgins' testimony yesterday over email, in contrast to how we received FBI testimony 3 months ago when the FBI had to personally deliver it on a disk, making it impossible to circulate and store it online.
It might sound ridiculous, but FBI agents still operate their computers without the help of a computer mouse. They have only limited access to email and the internet. People who've seen what the FBI is working with, like Tim Bashara of Raytheon Corporation, say the agency has no choice but to take a great leap forward from the current system.
It is basically way outdated beyond anything I've seen in any other federal government department. I have to empathize with these agents. These agents are just excellent, wonderful people, and the technology is 60s and 70s vintage technology.
Raytheon went through the frustrating experience of bidding for the contract to upgrade the FBI system in the late 1990s. That bidding process was ridden with problems that led Congress to cancel the entire project in 1999. The agency had to start over and is pushing ahead with a project called Trilogy. Trilogy is supposed to link together the FBI's aging databases. Right now, a lot of information is still on paper. Data that is digitized is often locked into old computer code that comes with its own rigid rules. Those rules often prevent that data from being shared and compared with information from other systems. Steve Perkins is with the database company Oracle.
They're all locked in some proprietary programming language. So there's this kind of hieroglyphic translation process you have to go back and peel back the layers of code to understand what the original business rules were supposed to be and how they've been modified.
Perkins says the problem is that the FBI, like many other government agencies, developed its own idiosyncratic system. That's partly because the agency was trying to build something that hackers and spies could not penetrate. But Perkins says new designs can accommodate both security and openness.
So that it doesn't matter that I have six different stovepipe systems, because at the information level they can communicate because they're built on open standards.
As surprising as it is to learn that the FBI's technology is in the Stone Age, the question remains, just what are they missing? Could agents solve or prevent crimes if they just had better tools? Absolutely, say some in local law enforcement who believe that information sharing is already revolutionizing the field.
If we had information, for example, on every 911 case, every arrest, victim, on offenders, on crime scenes, property, witnesses, there would not be a single crime that we could not solve.
Ron Huberman of the Chicago Police Department is spearheading a system that is trying to link all the data the department does have. It's called the Citizen and Law Enforcement Analysis and Reporting System, or CLEAR. Recently, Huberman showed me how the system works.
If I just knew the last name of an offender,
Huberman logs onto the system, and he has instant access to fingerprints, mugshots, any piece of information gathered on any crime in the Chicago area over the past decade. Older files will be added. It allows an officer to search and track people by name, by nickname, even by the kinds of tattoo they wear.
Let's say I'm an officer and there's someone specific that I want to talk to. I can simply enter their name. What this does is it puts a flag in the system. By putting a flag in the system, it will immediately notify me anytime someone either stops this particular individual, anytime this person comes into contact with an officer, either as a witness, a offender, a victim.
The department determined that even the most computer illiterate cops had done some web surfing, so CLEAR uses the same interface as the web. CLEAR includes a component that's meant to draw connections even when the cops themselves don't see them. Say, for example, one officer stops a suspect in an alley questions him, and then lets him go. Then a few hours later, another officer is pursuing a robbery in that same area.
The time and space component says within a two-hour window, someone within two blocks was stopped. On top of that, having all the background information, the person who was stopped has a criminal history for burglary, so that the detective assigned that case will immediately have a printout when they're assigned the case that says, we're not sure there's a link here, but someone with a burglary background was stopped two blocks away, 2 hours from the time that this particular burglary was reported.
Huberman's enthusiasm for this system is almost boundless, but he admits there's a lot more to be done. For one thing, he'd like to make the system mobile. Huberman turns on the air conditioner full blast as he fires up a patrol car. Right now, most of Chicago's cop cars have access to only part of this system, but Huberman takes me out for a ride in a demonstration car that is equipped with all the bells and whistles. Access to mugshots, criminal records, the whole deal.
Anyway, we have a person calling for help, 85th and Green, 85th and Green.
Even with full access to the CLEAR system, there's a lot that officers cannot know. Huberman runs a routine check on the license plate of a car as the unsuspecting and apparently law-abiding driver cruises through downtown Chicago.
Do we get NCIC yet, Michelle?
No, not yet.
We could be looking at the missing terrorists from 9/11, you know. We'll know in a minute.
To find out whether there are any national warrants out on the driver, Huberman queries the NCIC, the FBI's National Crime Information Center. It says these folks are clean. But there's plenty the FBI doesn't know. It cannot tell Huberman whether any other local police departments have a warrant out for this driver or whether he's simply wanted somewhere for questioning. Even the full-color computer display of the CLEAR system doesn't have that information, since it is only linked to 132 police departments in the Chicago area.
Battery in progress in the funeral home. Three people fighting, possible weapon.
Huberman and his partner haul off to investigate a 911 call about a fight between two families in a funeral home. It only takes a little diplomacy to keep the two warring families from coming to blows, but this stop illustrates another limitation of computerized crime fighting. Huberman won't enter any data into the computer about the aborted fight at the funeral home. He explains that since his peacekeeping mission was successful, there's no reason to keep a record.
And historically, what we've shown is that if there's no criminal intent that occurs, then usually that information doesn't add up to much value. There's also a secondary issue, which is privacy issues, which is if no one has committed a crime, do we necessarily want to collect information on someone's personal family funeral?
Huberman and other cops concede that the mission of a local police department is different from that of the FBI, but they share one key thing, a need to share information. The CLEAR system allows the Chicago police to compare years of information within the department. That's something that is still years away for the FBI. But the ideal of a full library search that would compare all arrest information, all investigative data across the country, that's still a dream.
175 Young King Charlie, Young Charlie Johnson.
Larry Abramson, NPR News, Chicago.